Well, the sermon text for this morning is from Psalm 119, verse 145 through 152. 145 through 152. Either just listen or read along to this portion of God's Word. I cried with all my heart, "Answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, 'Save me, and I shall keep your testimonies.' I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever." As you no doubt know from all of these years, I used to work at the family bookstore out in Monroeville, and about this time of year we would sell a lot of stuff, a lot of different things. But one of the chief things that we would sell this time of year is devotionals. Which you know, is a good thing. But it would be because of the turn of the year and Christmas presents and people starting the new year with New Year's resolutions, no doubt, from talking to different customers over the years, to get back into a regular pattern of reading the Scripture and going through some sort of helpful devotional along those lines. And The author of our psalm certainly does not have any of those particular things in mind here. But the point is the same, that the psalmist here in this section is talking about the blessings of being in regular and daily prayer and time in the Word of God. And what a blessing that is, not only in his walk and his relationship with the Lord, but in being able to live an obedient and faithful Christian life out of thanksgiving for all of God's goodness and graces. And so I think, the encouragement as we come together here to look at these verses, that everyone is in a different place as to your faithfulness in actually carrying that out. And so take this as an encouragement that if you're in a time in which you're not being particularly consistent in your prayer and in your scripture reading time, to take this as an encouragement to be about that and to dedicate time and energy toward that, and what a blessing that is to living our lives in Christ. And so let's see this as we work our way through these eight verses. First, praying and giving thanks in 145 and 146. Now, again, we don't know the human author, but the Holy Spirit has inspired him to give us this perfect and inspired look at the role of Scripture in the life of the believer. And as we've been working through the Hebrew alphabet in these 22 sections, we come here to the 19th section, which begins with the Hebrew letter Kof. And the Kof section focuses on the blessings of crying out to the Lord in prayer and meditating on His Word, and how these means of grace are used by the Lord to strengthen us in living for Him and staying obedient in a life lived out of thanks for His graces. Our first two verses here very strongly present the theme of the entire song. And the psalmist here cries out to the Lord and states that he will give thanks by keeping his word. We read here in 145, I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, I will observe your statutes. The word cried that's used repeatedly in this section means to call out or even to plead. It expresses both the real fellowship with God, that there is this relationship where God hears him, and the encouragement that he knows that God will hear and will answer. It reminds us of the blessing of having this relationship with the awesome and holy God in Jesus Christ, that we can offer up our cries, our needs, and know that he hears us in Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't take that for granted, for it's a blessing and a privilege that he hears us and he answers. And he does that because we belong to him in Jesus Christ by his grace, and we know that in our salvation that Christ intercedes for us. Romans 8 and 34 reminds us Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Notice that the psalmist cries with all my heart. And so he's coming here wholeheartedly, as we can do, and express the deepest thoughts and concerns that we have. That we can come in confidence and know that he hears us because of Christ. And he wants to know what's on our hearts. We're not told the specific request here, and in lots of ways that's helpful. It keeps it general. And so we can plug in here whatever our concerns may be. All of those different situations in life, we know that we can offer them up to God, and he hears us and is concerned about us and what is on our hearts. By offering up prayer, there's also a recognition of dependence, that we need what only he can give, his help, his change in situations, his encouragement, his comfort. All of those things that we come in need in our hearts and in situations to him, recognize that we are small and that he is great, and that he is the one who acts in situations and in our hearts and in the lives of those around us. He is certainly the one who is able to change things. Isaiah 45, he reminds us, I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. And so he is active in our lives and in the world. And so we come to one who is able. And as God's people, we are encouraged to offer up our desires to him in Jesus' name. And know that because of Christ saving us and interceding for us, the Father hears us. And the psalmist here knows that, or asks for here this response to his requests. As he offers up what he would like to see God do, even before the Lord answers, you'll notice, he says, I will observe your statutes. And so this is not obedience in trying to make God happy so that he'll do for us because we're doing for him. Instead, this is an expression of who the psalmist is, as one who knows the Lord and knows all kinds of blessings in Christ already. And so his actions in seeking to obey the Lord show that he knows the Lord, knows thanksgiving for the Lord's graces, and wants to live for him. We're reminded here of the blessings of grace that we already have. Even before we offer up a prayer for a situation, if you are in Christ, you are already incredibly, ridiculously blessed from the beginning. The Lord Jesus Christ is fully God who became fully man to save you eternally from your own sins. And He took wrath which was due to you upon Himself. And He lived a perfect life because you and I fail. And He is risen from the dead, ascended to the Father's right hand as King of Kings. And He has called the people to Himself. And He continues to do that. And He, by the Holy Spirit, gives the faith to trust in Him to salvation. And so, in Jesus Christ, there is reconciliation to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and incredible and eternal blessings already known, and all kinds of blessings yet to come. Ephesians 2 reminds us, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so those who know salvation in Jesus Christ are already saved and set apart and have received so many blessings and the promise of so many more. And we live our lives out of thanksgiving for those gifts and graces. And what a blessing it is to be able to live for Him instead of against Him. Ephesians 2 says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And so we have the blessing of walking in those by the abilities and the graces of a new life in Christ. And so the psalmist is expressing that blessing and that ability and the joy that we have in living for Christ. And here he adds in 146 then, I cry to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. Notice the motivation there. If you save me, in a worldly sense, from whatever this trouble is, I will then be able to live obediently for you. Maybe that's not the motivation that we have when we ask the Lord to deliver us from some sort of difficulty. But here it expresses the psalmist's heart and really what ought to be on our hearts as well when we ask for deliverance from a challenge or a difficulty or a hardship. Now, life is certainly a blessing and precious, and wanting it to continue just generally is a good thing. But it's certainly important here to notice that the psalmist's focus is that he will keep on living so that he can live for God's glory, live a life that's pleasing to the Lord and grow in godliness. So we're encouraged there to think of the extension of life that He gives us in those terms. I get to live for Him another day. When facing His possible execution, Paul writes in Philippians 1, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Paul reminds us there that every day that we're given is an opportunity to bear fruit, to live for Christ, to pursue holiness, to pursue to the fruit of the Spirit, to serve Christ our King, to serve others in the kingdom, to serve those beyond it who do not yet know Him. We dare not take that blessing and that grace for granted. In a world full of people dead in their sins and dead to God and selfishly living only for themselves, we have been rescued to be able to sing or to serve and to live for a glorious King and Savior. What a blessing it is to be able to do that, and so want to do that more with each day that He gives us. And so each morning that He allows us to wake up, whatever the providence is of that day, whether it's happy or sad or difficult, we are able and we are blessed to be able to live for Christ in that day. Colossians 3 reminds us, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Second, praying continually and expecting biblically in 147 through 149. And these next three verses express the psalmist's constant and persistent prayer and how that is accompanied by time in the Scriptures, which then direct his expectations and his hopes. Let's look at 147 and 148 together here. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Notice that the psalmist here gets up before the sunrise, and he does that specifically to pray to the Lord for help. Now, certainly it's not unusual for that to happen, maybe in some sort of crisis, that we see our need and we get up as early as we can to pray about it. And maybe our concerns keep us from sleep so that we're up again already. The psalmist here is certainly disturbed by some sort of serious problem. And he's up before the sun and he's seeking the Lord's face. He asks for the Lord's comfort and for His blessing for his action. And so he goes to the source of power, the triune God, who is almighty and gracious. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Instead of anxiousness and worry, we're to direct our prayers and our requests to the Lord and thank Him for all of the worldly and eternal blessings that we have in our salvation in Jesus Christ and all that He has already done for us in Christ. And we have so much to thank Him for, even when we come to Him with things that we would yet like to see Him do. As you are in Christ, you already have heaven instead of the hell that you deserve. You already have fellowship with God instead of His wrath. You already have Christ as your King and as your Savior. You already have the Holy Spirit as your Comforter. You already have the God of the universe as your Father. You are already the receiver of countless and eternal blessings. And so we are to remember that and remember those before we come to Him with what we would like to see. Paul points out in Philippians there as well that the peace of God will come to us and it will guard our hearts and our minds. That He will bless our prayers and He will protect us from our own sinful inclinations and the influences of those around us. Sinful thoughts and decisions and actions and feelings that might lead us astray. Our anxiousness can drive us to all of those different things. And so we pray here for His hand to be at work in us and to guard our hearts from those things as we trust in Him and His love and His providence. We're reminded here that He is the God of peace who gives peace to His children. Romans 14 says, "The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And so part of what God the Holy Spirit does is give us a peace that is beyond all of the circumstances that might not be peaceful at all. Jesus says in John 14, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be fearful." So God the Holy Spirit gives us peace. So we pray for it, and we keep on praying for it in our anxiousness. And the Lord will redirect our perspective to eternal things and to blessings and providences that He is working out in our difficulties for His glory. Notice that also the psalmist here, his eyes anticipate the night watches. So he not only got up before the sun, he's eagerly anticipating work to be over and the night watches to start so that he can pray again. Again, he is dedicating himself to prayer. But notice in both 147 and 148 that the Word of God accompanies those prayers. In 147, he says, "I wait for your words." We have the Scriptures before us. We trust in His promises, and we read for the encouragements and for the directions and for the corrections. And that accompanies our prayers and gives them guidance and gives our lives guidance. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." And so when we pray about things, we also meditate on those promises from the Scriptures. And that is very helpful. In fact, it's actually necessary to have the Scriptures direct our thinking and our praying so that we don't end up demanding or expecting things that are not promised in His Word. And so our prayers need to be biblically informed so that our expectations for His grace are grounded in what He has said. And when we know what He has said and He has promised, we can pray confidently. Numbers 23 reminds us, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good?" And He does. He does not lie. If He says He will do something, He will do something. And He keeps all of His promises. And so when we dwell in His Word and on His promises, we are encouraged and we have hope that is grounded in what is true. Jesus says in John 10 and 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And we depend upon that verse as we trust in Christ. And we seek also to hear His voice in all of the other pages of Scripture, as they are His very Word. And we count on what He has promised to us. Romans 8 reminds us, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For no created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That our encouragements and our expectations are wonderful in Christ, and are to inform all of how we take in this life, the good and the hard. So our 140, verse 147 says, I will meditate on your word. I will dwell on God's word. I will read it. I will think about it. I will be blessed by it. And it will inform our praying and how we understand this world and the life that he calls on us to live for him. Reminded here of Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the paths of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. 149 then adds, hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. The believer here has the confidence that the Lord hears and answers according to his loving kindness, his promised covenant love. And that's a deep and abiding promise that we have, that he acts toward us in his promises and in constant love. Deuteronomy 7 says, the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness. And we trust in that truth and in that fact. That we belong to him by his grace in love. And that that love flows through all of the circumstances and situations of this life. I think about even the difficult, the hard things that people that we know and we've been praying for, from Karen's family and others, the difficulties and the hardships, just the heartbreaking things this past week, and how the believers among them responded in sadness and yet in confidence in Christ's promises. And that's where they ran. What has Christ promised to his people? And we cling to those promises. And we know that they are always true. Paul says in Ephesians 3, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so we pray for that blessing, for him to enliven us according to his word, that we can trust in him and his sure promises. So our verses here remind us to be constant and persistent in prayer, and to be constant in the word of God as he speaks to us by it. We can direct our hopes according to his sure word. Well, third and finally and briefly, the Lord's protection and counsel in 151 and through 152. 150 through 152. These final verses point out the contrast between the counsel of the wicked and the counsel of the Lord, and how we are to seek out his word as true and sure counsel and the word of life. Notice the contrast set up between 150 and 151. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. The sense here is that those who reject the scriptures are far from the Lord, instead pursue wickedness in their actions and in their ideas, are coming near to the psalmist, either to threaten him or to counsel him. We certainly find that in our lives, that there are those around us and the culture around us, even at times meaning well, It seeks to counsel us according to their wisdom. And they certainly draw near, and they certainly can and do influence us. Yet we're reminded here that they are far from God's law, far from His truth. And even though there may be a blessing by God's common kindness in limiting their sin, in limiting the sinfulness of their counsel, there is much in it that is sinful and wrong. And yet look at verse 151. That the Lord just doesn't draw near, He is near. And His commands and His counsel are truth. And so we are encouraged by this contrast. Instead of following the counsel of the ungodly around us, we are to seek the Lord and His faithful and inerrant word. Paul writes of this same thought in Ephesians 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You cannot find what is true, what is pleasing to the Lord, from those who are yet in the darkness that we've been rescued from. By God's grace to us in Christ, we have been set apart. We've been set apart even from wise-sounding falsehoods. And so let us instead sit before our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who instructs us by His perfect word. It is in the Scriptures that we find perfect truth, and in it we find true direction as to what to believe and how to live and how to navigate the pressures and difficulties and sadnesses of this life. And so here again, we are to spend time in prayer and in Scripture. Memorize it. Read it. Think about it. Submit to it and be changed by it. Romans 12 reminds us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we have that encouragement that as we pray and attend the Word of God, that it will change. We will be transformed. We will think differently. And after a while, we won't even realize why we're thinking differently. We just will because of the influence of the Spirit and the Word in us. And so our closing verse then reminds us of the confidence that we can have in God's Word. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. The Word of God then is not new to the psalmist. He has a history of time in it, a history of dependence upon it. And that history is a great blessing to him. He's been changed by it. He's seen God come through on His promises time and time again from experience. And that's one of the blessings that we have over the course of a life lived in Christ, that we can look back at times in which He has been faithful to His true word, that He has blessed us in hard times, that He has directed us away from sin. Each and every day we have confidence in Christ that He is building us and growing us and drawing us to Himself. Human counselors will come and go. People who influence your life will come and go. But God and His Word are the one constant through all of those things and the only perfect source of truth. And that's the blessing here, that we put it above all others. Paul writes to Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we have the blessing of growing over time in the Word of God, and it does not go without effect in us by God's grace and power. And so let us be in His Word and in prayer and be consistent and constant in those things, because they are a great blessing to us and they honor Christ our King. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do thank You and praise You for this portion of Your Word and ask that You might apply it to our hearts. We do thank You for Your grace to us in Christ, for calling us to be Your own, for saving us by Your own grace and by the work of Christ alone. We thank You for all of the blessings that we have in living for You. We thank You for the blessings of prayer and of Your perfect Word. We thank You that You speak to us as You indwell us by Your Spirit, that we pray, knowing that You hear us because Christ is interceding for us. And we live this life knowing that Your love and Your promises are sure and constant, and they will lead us through all of the happy and sad times of this life. We thank You and praise You for these blessings, these means of grace, and ask that we would be encouraged in our own hearts to be more faithfully attending them. Be blessed in living for You and seeing You at work in our lives. And we ask all of these things for Your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen.